I love the sanctuary. I love being here on a day like today. It's just glorious. I love the sound of children's voices in this space. I love listening to the sound of the water in this space. We'll reflect on baptism today. You may see on the back of the wall, there's all kinds of artwork that was created by a whole host of you Wednesday night. All imagery around water, its life-giving and life-destroying potential, its blessing, and our hopes and our fears and our whole lives are so much touched by that reality, so we turn it into art, put it on the wall. Love this sanctuary. Today, we're going to reflect on baptism. And of course, there's a million places where we could start to reflect on that reality. I want to start on Pentecost. On that day when Jews and Jewish converts from around the world were gathered in Jerusalem. And it was a great day. It was a festival day, and just about every language spoken under heaven could be heard in the city, in the streets, in the markets, around the temple, everywhere. It was like the whole world had poured into Jerusalem. And on that day, something amazing happened. The disciples of Jesus, all of them, Galileans, country folk, proclaimed God's deeds of power. And the whole world heard them, each person in their own native language. They were, of course, amazed, perplexed. Something new, something unheard of was on the loose. Something that blew through language barriers just like wind through a fence. What does this mean? People asked. What is going on here? And Peter responded by telling them about Jesus of Nazareth. And he talked about the great things God had done through him and how he had been crucified and killed in that very city. And then he said, this Jesus, God raised up, making him both Lord and Messiah. This miracle of mutual understanding in the city they all had been part of that day had been brought about by Jesus, the Messiah, by his life, his death, and resurrection. Amazing stuff. But what did it mean for them? How were they to respond to what God had done in Jesus? How does one live in a world where Jesus is Lord rather than Caesar? What should we do? They asked. And Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. God had raised Jesus from the dead, inaugurating a new creation, and the way to enter it is through water. Repent, for the old ways of the old world have been judged. Be baptized, for God calls you to live the new life of the new creation in the power of the Holy Spirit. The miracle of the whole world gathered in Jerusalem, each person hearing the mighty acts of God proclaimed in their own language, that miracle was not just for one day. It was a glimpse of the future, a glimpse of the fullness that had been unveiled by the death and resurrection of Jesus, a new humanity. The love of God in Christ transcends all our cultural differences, and we enter the new reality through water. In the beginning, when the earth was formless and void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, the Spirit of God swept over the face of the waters. Water and Spirit go together. In creation and in the new creation, we enter through baptism. Water and Spirit go together. in moving life forward toward fulfillment. In baptism, the church, from its earliest days, has perceived echoes of the whole story of God and the people of God. And so every baptism contains the flood that threatens to undo creation, and yet we emerge to live. Every baptism contains the sea in which the powers of oppression drown and through which God's people escape to freedom. Every baptism occurs in the river which God's people cross to enter the promised land, and where John the Baptist calls them to repent and Jesus obeys. We are baptized in the river of life that runs from Jesus' wounded side on the cross and from the throne of God. Baptism, every baptism, is the water that breaks at the birth of a new humanity. It is the washing of feet at the end of a long journey and the bath on the eve of the great Sabbath. Water and the Spirit go together. When Peter preached in Caesarea, the passage we heard earlier, he and the other circumcised believers were astounded to realize that the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on Gentiles. Pagans, idolaters, were extolling the God of Israel. And nobody anymore had to ask, what does this mean, or what should we do? Peter simply stated, can anyone withhold the water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? A new humanity. Baptized into Christ, we learn to follow the movement of the Spirit, who tends to act in astounding ways to this day. We look at Jesus, and we find in his life and his teachings the embodiment of God's compassion, God's power to heal. We look to Jesus and we hear God's call to trust God's promise that all of life, all of creation, will be redeemed and renewed in Christ. We hear a call to live in Christ. And the call to live in Christ is more than a call to, say, you know, believing differently, or to thinking, talking, and acting in more promising ways. It is all that. But it is above all a call to be renewed in the image and likeness of Christ. Quite literally, to become a different person. It is a call to say yes with our whole being to the work of God in us and through us. And saying yes to one thing always implies saying no to others. You were taught to put away your former way of life. We read in Ephesians. You were taught to put away your former way of life, as though saying no to bad habits, loveless attitudes, selfish practices were as simple as giving your old furniture to Goodwill. You were taught to put away your old self, corrupt and deluded by its lusts, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to clothe yourselves with a new self, created according to the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Yes, we were taught. We were taught by apostles, prophets, parents, teachers, preachers, but the old self can't be put away by teaching. In Romans 6, Paul gets to the heart of the matter, which is why we read this passage every time we have a baptism here at Vine Street. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him by baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. Baptism is the burial of the old self. The new self is not just a better educated version of the old. The new self is born, being born and raised in Christ. The new self belongs to the new creation. Martin Luther, he called the old self the old Adam. And he had a talk with the old Adam just about every day. And in his small catechism, Martin Luther reminds the church, quote, that the old Adam in us should, by daily contrition and repentance, be drowned and die with all sins and evil lusts, and again a new human being daily come forth and arise, who shall live before God in righteousness and purity forever. Now, he didn't suggest that we need to be baptized every day, but that we remember every day that we are baptized and that Christ has made us his own. Because we are in Christ, the knowledge of our continuing falling short of true righteousness and holiness doesn't lead to despair, but opens the door to growing trust in the power and mercy of God. In Christ, everything has become new. And in baptism and discipleship, we embrace that newness and we are embraced by it, held by it. Living in Christ is a lot like learning to swim. We float on grace with complete trust that we will not sink. Now, I want to go back to the image of clothing ourselves with the new self. In the ancient church, that imagery was an important element of every baptism. New disciples took off their clothes, all of them, and entered the baptistry naked, leaving their old life behind like a pile of old clothes. And then, on the other side, when they emerged from the water, a deacon dressed them in a white robe. But not silk for some and scratchy wool for all the others. No, the same white robe for all. Because in Christ, the world's distinctions of ethnicity, class, status, gender no longer apply. Or as Paul put it, as many of you as were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male and female. For all of you are one in Christ Jesus. We are one in Christ. In baptism, we are made one with him and through him with the whole people of God. So yes, baptism, it's very personal. It really is between you and God. To every believer, baptism is the tangible assurance of God's love and forgiveness and the equally tangible expression of God's claim on his or her life. But baptism is also profoundly communal, always communal. Newness of life. It's not a private adventure, but life as a member of God's covenant community, life with the brothers and sisters of Christ, whom we are called to love whether we like them or not. In baptism, the whole story of God and the people of God, past and future, is condensed into one moment. And there we see how God acts by embracing us, all of us, as God's own, incorporating us into the body of Christ and giving us the Holy Spirit to guide us. The church acts by obeying the command of Christ and welcoming new disciples as brothers and sisters and equipping them for ministry. And the individual believer acts by responding to God's call in Christ, renouncing the false gods of this world and committing to a life of discipleship. In baptism, God draws a line. God draws a line between our old self and our new life, a line between our past and our future in the Spirit. We know that. But we're human, and we tend to redraw that line to make it more convenient, usually. Rather than seeing ourselves as fully claimed by God for God's mission and God's future in God's world, we draw a line between religion and the rest of our lives. We draw a line around this little garden where Jesus lives and where we love to go and visit, but we don't live there. Most of our life takes place outside the little garden, on the other side of the line, and there it seems, idols of our own making and beyond our control are in charge. But God is faithful. God doesn't leave the world to our idolatrous tendencies. God continues to call us and to claim us for the mission of transforming all things in the Spirit of Jesus, beginning with ourselves. So remember this. We are baptized. Christ has made us his own. We belong to the new creation. Amen.